Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us today as we talk about the world of finance. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays helping people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you've got advisors now or you do everything on your own or just getting started, whatever the case may be, we want you to consider our program another source for great education and information. And
second, third, fourth opinion.
Yeah. And we've been doing this program for 20 plus years in large part because we believe that the more informed and educated an individual is, the better choices they're going to be making, better decisions they'll be making, and it'll lead them to a greater probability of success during their retirement years.
And I actually like doing the radio show. I just hate coming to work.
You hate coming to work?
I hate coming in to do the radio show. Once I'm here, I like it. Do you ever find that about work?
It's a lot of things in life are that way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I feel like going, then you go. And
when you're there, you're there.
Yeah, I was glad I'm driving home. Like, honey, that was good. I'm glad we went to that after all, because I would.
I've never said that about Disneyland, though.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know where that came.
I don't know either. But it's not the happiest place on earth for me.
No.
When my kids were little, we went on the Disney cruise. We went Disney World.
Oh, you went a Disney cruise.
We went Disney World for like 3 days, then the Disney cruise for like 3 or 4 days. I almost threw Mickey over the ship. I mean, I'd snapped. And at one point, my daughter was little, and there was a lineup for the princess to get the signature or whatever, which is a silly thing. And whatever the princess was, whoever it was, they have like 3 or 4 in different parts of the ship.
No.
So you can get, right? So all the kids get a chance to sign. And we show up, and they said, oh, sorry, the line's too full. They're not going to have a chance. And I said, no, wrong answer. So, I'm sorry. The line was no more. There's no more. I said, yes, there is. I said, I've been with Disney for 6 days now. I'm on this stuck on the ship. My daughter's getting that signature. And after the security had had an hour discussion with me, I'm joking.
This is prior to Homeland Security.
But anyway, we're to totally digress.
But we take your phone calls. Did we give our number out?
No, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you want to be part of the program, love to take your call regarding whatever issues that you're dealing with financially. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join the show. And it could be dealing with your retirement. Maybe you're a couple years away from retirement. Maybe you're retired trying to figure out the best way to structure things. Maybe someone is recommending some investment product. You're wondering if it's the right thing to do. Maybe you're looking at doing a reverse mortgage.
Maybe you're thinking about paying your house off and does that make sense or not?
Whatever the case, we'd love to take your call. So to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-242-6766. And we're starting in Northern California with Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Great. How you doing, Dave?
I have a question about my IRA. I've been with an advisor for about 10 years, same fellow. And I've got some cash in the account that I haven't invested because he's kind of conservative, and I'm thinking we ought to take that cash and invest it. And plus, I have some cash in the bank that I want to do something with. He's suggesting an Oppenheimer Steel Path MLP Income Fund or a J.P. Morgan Accelerated Barrier Note Linked Fund.
Holy,
I don't know what either one of those mean.
Holy smokes. Well, we do.
Well, that's why I told you guys. We're talking about probably $150,000 to $200,000 cash that I could do something with.
That why do you have that much in cash?
Well, long story.
Well, first,
I told you this guy that I was, the guy was, that I was with is conservative. Well, I'm conservative. I consider myself an aggressive investor. But I let him talk me into the fact that he thought the economy was going to crash last year. He says, "Dave, you better keep some of the cash." And so we have.
Yeah.
And
then how old are you?
I'm an independent contractor. My business is going pretty good, and I've got some cash in that account.
How old are you?
So I'm 70.
And
I'm still working. I love what I do, and I have no plans to retire. So don't be my wife and say, "When are you going to retire?"
Listen, if you're happy. So on this mutual fund, did they recommend to you? Did they have the letter A, B, or C behind them? Do you know?
I don't think so. Nope. How's he
charging you? How did they charge you?
I'm paying a fixed fee. I think it's it's 0.5% on the total value of the assets. I have an annuity that's got some value in it, and that I kept that separate.
Okay.
I didn't want to be in the annuity, but I got into it, and they told me I.
Here's what seems. Here's what's here. For, all right. So first of all, a couple of the funds you mentioned. We're not big fans of Masters Limited Partnerships.
And not only are they Master Limited Partnerships, they're really, really expensive Master Limited Partnerships.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to do. Is that a preloaded deal? When you get into it, you pay the fee up front?
We don't recommend those. So I've never recommended a Master Limited Partnership.
So what it sounds like in your situation, though, is that he's charging you a fee-based program. But
maybe he's still getting a commission.
But
there.
He might still be getting a commission on the backside.
Here's the odd thing about this. You're having this discussion on a couple individual funds. And usually when you hire an advisor, what the idea is, let's figure out what your overall objectives are, right? So Dave's 70, wants to continue to work. Well, what do we need these dollars for? Maybe Dave dies tomorrow and his wife needs retirement income from it or whatever those things are, right? And then
I still work for my grandkids' college. That's what I tell everybody.
Oh, perfect.
Working for my grandkids' college.
Perfect. Well, then that's what you do with the cash.
Have you set up any 529 plans?
Have you set up any 529 plans?
No, I haven't.
Okay, listen. So, Dave.
The extra fund in the IRA.
Yeah, Dave. So you've got a bunch of issues going on, and you actually don't have an advisor.
I don't. Okay.
You have someone that you discuss products with, but you don't have an advisor, because if you came into my office and you said, "Hey, Pat, hey, Scott, hey, any of our other 17 advisors, I work for my kids' college education." The first thing we would probably start talking about is how old are the kids, how old are the grandkids, and what is the most tax-efficient way to get dollars in there, and what is the least expensive way? And we'd probably land on the Vanguard plan or the State of California plan. You called and asked about product, and you're a contractor, correct?
Most
contractors aren't product driven; they're solution driven.
Yeah, right.
What are you trying to accomplish? Trying to
solve customer problems.
So it's at, so. Do you build? What do you build as a contractor?
I said I'm an independent contractor, but I'm an independent manufacturer representative. So I sell things.
You're multi-lines broker.
Exactly.
Got it.
I don't buy and resell. I'm a representative. I'm paid a commission.
Got it. Perfect.
You just make sure your clients end up with the right product at the right time for the right reason.
Exactly. You got it.
Perfect. So just even your portfolio as a whole, what it really should come down to is, what is Dave trying to accomplish? Let's just talk about your IRA for a minute. With Dave's IRA, and you've got required minimum distributions, do you have your own business?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a California S corporation. I used to be a C corp, and I changed this year because my tax accountant told me.
Because you might be able to use a solo K and defer taking required minimum distributions for another 5 years.
Yeah, until he's 74.
So the first thing is, let's figure out what the objective is with the IRA.
I think he might have to take required minimum distributions.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things to look at.
I'm doing it now. I'm taking out.
But if you had a 401, if you had a 401k, you can defer to age 75.
Right.
The second thing is, how much ups and downs, how much risk does Dave want to take with these dollars? You said you're conservative. Right. What does that really mean? Let's try to quantify that. And then from there, a portfolio is constructed with those two objectives in mind. So when you end up having to talk about a product, trying to fit some investment product into extra cash, it sounds like someone that's just got a bunch of products that trying to,
sounds worse than that, Scott.
My philosophy, I've always tried to invest in stocks. My best customer is Lam Research. I should have bought their stock 10 years ago. Instead, I bought it a year ago. And in the last year, it's gone from like $80 to $130. And if I'd have bought it 10 years ago, I could have bought it for probably 30.
No, I know. But, you know, that history is all behind us. I could have been a brain surgeon had I not missed that first day of medical school. But then.
So, so what you really need to do is actually go and meet with a qualified fiduciary who is an advisor that has the educational background.
Certified financial planner.
Actually, you know what? Where are you located? You're in the Sacramento area? Or?
I'm in Roseville. I live in Roseville. I have an office at Rockland.
I normally don't like... You know, it's funny. I'm going to be real transparent here for a moment. So before our radio program today, Pat and I, we always have a little planning program, a planning time to talk about it. And one of the challenges, here's what Pat said to me. He says, here's the thing I struggle with on the air. We tell people to go see a quality financial advisor. He says, there's some good ones out there, but there's some lousy ones. And then Pat brought up there's somebody in Northern California region. Pretends like he's a great financial advisor, and all he does is sell equity index annuities to people.
Correct.
Crams them down the throat. He was actually kicked out of the industry for 5 years.
But the average consumer can't tell the difference.
So we're having this conversation, and Matt says, we should just tell him to come talk to one of our advisors, and we know they're not going to get taken advantage of.
We know that they're going to get but anyway, come and see us.
But we don't want to be self-serving.
Well, Scott. How much longer are we going to go on actually telling them to go see an advisor and then they end up at some idiot's office where he or she is just cramming a high-cost product down their throat?
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for the advice. I'll give you a call. I'll call Roseville. I think you work out of your Sacramento place.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. All right. Thanks, appreciate it. We don't want to listen any more about us.
thanks for the advice.
All right, thanks. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, hear from our wonderful sponsor, which happens to be Hanson McLean today. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you a sports fan? Each year, teams spend the preseason getting ready for their big opening game. Well, retirement's a little like that. The difference is that instead of a yearly preseason, you spend your career getting your finances in shape for a retirement that could last 25 years or more. Think of Hanson McLean as the coach that gets you ready for your retirement season. For a free retirement readiness consultation, visit us at HansonMcLean.com today.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
And I'm glad you're with our program today. 1-888-2-HANSON if you'd like to join the show. Love to take your call. And let's continue on with calls. We're in the Sierra Nevadas talking with Doug. Doug, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Doug.
I must say, you two fellas do put fun in finance.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. It's our industry is not necessarily known for a lot of fun, and we try to have a little brevity sometimes. So,
how can we help? Definitely, most financial programs I can't stay awake through. So.
Neither can I. So,
okay, I just need to figure out where I need to go from here. I'll let you know where I stand financially, and then I can explain the rest.
Okay. Alrighty.
I have five pieces of real estate, one being my residence, four being rentals, with seven rental units on the four. They're all paid for.
Great.
I sold an asset a couple of years ago, and I have 34 more payments coming to me of $36,000 a month.
Okay.
I have $300,000 in cash, and I've always, you know, when I build up enough money, I'll buy another piece of real estate and, you know, kind of snowball effect type thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if I should, you know, I hear so much about diversity. I wonder if I should, from this point, the money that I have coming in over the next 3 years, put that in a different direction, a different vehicle, investment vehicle.
Are all your, so you're in a little town called, an old gold mining town in the Sierra Nevada mm-hmm. foothills. Are all your rentals around there?
Yes.
Okay, so...
So let's talk about geographic diversity.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look in California, wildfires that have burned through some of the areas. I mean, when, you know, heaven forbid you had wildfires and burned through all your rentals could be a challenge.
they're all in town.
Yeah. Okay. So is it, the answer to your question is yes, you should go a different direction.
But diversification is about reducing risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have the highest probability of preserving your wealth and having the most growth would be through diversification. Yes. Is it going to, if you're going to own real estate in a different area, will it require more work? Yes.
But if going forward though, should he not buy real estate and invest in stocks or bonds or
how old are you, Doug?
Mutual funds.
69 years old. I didn't tell you, but the income from the rentals is currently at $15,000 a month.
All right. So, do you own any stocks, bonds, mutual funds, exchange traded funds, anything like that?
Well, I just have a tiny IRA that's just done. I've done nothing with over the years.
All right, so I'm going to share a story about myself. Right. So I'm 55, and I have always been a saver and a worrier about money,
which is why you're a saver. Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why, I mean, since I was 15.
Yeah.
And about 10 years ago, I looked at my portfolio, stepped back for a minute and said, what am I missing? And I was missing real estate, individually owned real estate properties. So I was exactly...
Because the field you worked in, as financial advisor, traded securities, mostly...
Very comfortable.
Any exposure to real estate would be a small percentage as a real estate investment... Publicly traded real estate investment trust.
Correct. Didn't own anything directly. Very comfortable with the portfolios. Obviously, this is what I do for a living. And I said, you know, it wouldn't hurt me to go to get a little bit of diversification in direct real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly the other side of the spectrum, which is you have nothing but direct real estate. And all you have is direct real estate and nothing else. I think you should go the other direction. I think you should invest in a portfolio of publicly traded stocks
and bonds.
And bonds that
balanced portfolio
with mutual funds and exchange traded fund.
If you want to continue to buy real estate, I'd do it in a different region.
But I wouldn't continue to buy real estate at all, Scott. I mean, I would go get a good investment advisor, good financial planner, and I would take this income and start moving it that direction.
He's never going to call you when the hot water heater.
But not only that, I mean, he's got enough money. You're not going to spend all this in your lifetime.
I think you knew the answer we were going to give you, right? I mean,
we're all right, but I have lost some money in stocks in the past. But so I think it was
that doesn't mean that this that doesn't mean it's a bad investment. Lost money in real estate.
You lost money in real estate too. You just didn't liquidate it when it was down. The difference between the two assets is that one prices every day and the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your real estate prices change every single day. Every day, your portfolio has a different price on it.
You just don't really know what it is.
You don't know what it is.
True.
Right?
Which provides some comfort to people.
Because, if you think about it logically.
Well, I understand, but we are all human, emotional people.
But you're not the only one, hopefully, listening to the radio show, though, Scott. Hopefully, there's more than just you and Doug.
I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that.
Right? So when you say you lost.
All right. So obviously, you talk to 10 financial advisors, they're going to say the same thing. Your textbook answer would be to diversify, obviously.
But, Scott. But if he said he was 50% real estate and 50% publicly traded.
So what? But at 69 years old, he has more wealth than he's spending.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying he's built his wealth through this. I mean, look, even
it's
if
it's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
But his job.
Unless
what?
Unless you know, something happens to that particular region, which is always possible.
But but your job is to maximize. Maybe. Is that right? Yeah, no?
Well, it depends what your objective is, Doug. If your objective is to reduce your risk and maximize your net worth, then clearly you should diversify.
If your objective is to not change and stay in the same zone,
then
that's fine too.
You do have the luxury of making that choice. And, and to be really clear about that, because a lot of people, and the reason us financial types talk about diversification, it's really about risk reduction.
Right.
Most people at your age do not have the amount of assets that you have. You got a lot of assets, no debt, tons of cash flow coming in. My guess is you're not spending anywhere close to your cash flow, right?
Oh yeah, no, I'm very conservative.
Right, that's why you have
alone.
That's why you have all these assets, right? So most people are not in that position. They might have $1 million or $2 million at retirement, but they need the income on that because they spend. I mean, they need the income on that
because they spend it.
Yeah,
they live on it.
Yeah, that's what they need to live off, and so they don't have the luxury of being non-diversified in one particular asset class. You do, but from a pure financial standpoint, I mean, obviously, our advice would be to have some diversification, to don't keep doubling down. I mean, if you're going to buy rentals, I certainly wouldn't continue to do it in the same town. Anyone would tell you that, Doug. but it's what you know, and it's not.
It's worked for you.
Your lifestyle is not going to be any different regardless of what you do.
But that's not the question he asked.
I understand.
Right. Well, I was raised by Depression era parents, so you're kind of always worried that you'd have to go back to that. You know.
Yeah.
Being poor. You know.
Well, listen, I wasn't raised by Depression era parents, and I worry about it. So.
Right. No, I'm not alone.
All right, Doug. You sound like you've done well. So
right, appreciate the call.
Good luck going forward. Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
We reside in California, as do the vast majority of our clients, because we've got a number of offices in California.
And we have some in other states as well. But
there's some states that continue to increase the income tax rates. In some, it's remarkable. The high tax rates keep getting worse. We look at Connecticut, New Jersey. Some of them keep pushing. They don't have enough money.
New York.
In, and they rely on the top earners.
So this was kind of a tipping point. And if you're elsewhere in the country, you think, well, why does this matter to me? Well, it's something that you want to watch for in your own economy, local economy. And this is state economy. So if you think about you as your own person, you have your personal economy that you interact with,
yes,
your local economy, your regional economy, national economy, and global economy.
And you have a silent partner
in
the tax man.
All of it. All
income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, state and local taxes,
gasoline taxes, licensing fees,
utility taxes, everything.
It's there, it's around you. Well, we've
particularly when people look at
where to retire.
Look, here's my. I'm now have this finite amount of assets. I no longer have plans to continue to generate new income from work. So that's why we're seeing more and more people leave some of these high states. But now,
the states are getting are setting themselves up for a dangerous situation. Certain economies are.
State of California, top rate, 13.3%.
The top 1% of taxpayers in the state of California. The personal income tax receipts is over 50% of all personal income taxes that are collected in the state of California.
So the top 1% pay over half.
That's 1% of the population pays 50% of the personal income tax.
So we can complain about our federal income taxes. We don't have a lot of choice because we're in this country.
Yes.
Unless you want to move to Monaco or something or the
and even then
islands.
And even then.
Yeah, there's some it's not that easy.
It's not that easy. But it's easy. Well, I have a friend just moved from the San Francisco Bay Area to Austin, Texas. Why?
A very successful.
Why?
Mid-career kind of person. The last kind of person that the state would want to lose.
So,
employs lots of people.
If the attitude you have is, well, what do I care? Those guys have enough money to actually pay the taxes. You got to rethink that a little bit, because the people that have the ability to move
are moving.
And they're the ones that pay the taxes, which actually makes it even easier for them. The top 1%.
You can't keep
pick
going.
Up.
You keep going after those people. There's a point when people are going to say, why do I pay 13.3 to stay in California? I can go to Nevada, pay nothing. I can go to Florida, pay nothing.
Austin.
I can go to Texas and pay nothing.
Yeah. Actually, saw an uncle of mine last who moved from Connecticut to Florida as soon as he retired.
Florida, they're all from those areas.
He said everyone has to. He says it's a rite of passage.
Anyway, something to think about when you're looking at your own retirement. I mean, I'll probably stay in California the rest of my life. I love it here, but you know, at some point in time,
sometimes you just draw a line in the sand.
Yeah, we're taking a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSON if you'd like to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
If you'd like to be a caller on the program, have a question for us, I'd like to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. By the way, if you're a podcast subscriber and thinking, well, I can't call right now. Yeah, you can call anytime, because if you reach out to us and say, I've got a question, I'd like to be on Hanson McLean's Money Matters program, we'll schedule a time to be on our program. Oftentimes, we will record calls during the week, sometimes in an evening. We'll schedule times, sometimes when it's convenient for our callers, sometimes when it's convenient for us and for everybody else. And we'll block out times where we just sit in the studio and answer calls. And
some of them go on the air.
Yeah.
And some of them don't.
So if you would like to join us and have a call for us, call anytime to this number and just say you'd like to be on Hanson McLean's Money Matters, and we'll schedule a time to take your call, assuming you have a decent question. But 95% of the time when people call, every once in a while there's something strange. But
yeah, but the reality of they're really strange, and we block off, well, I don't know, every 3 or 4 weeks we come in the studio and we just take a bunch of calls, Scott and I do, from podcast listeners, and the nut jobs never make it to the air.
That's right. So if you call and your show never makes it on, your question never makes it on, just saying.
I know.
No.
But, so anyway. Call at any time and we'll schedule time for us to talk. Any question.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. And let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Debbie. Debbie with Hanson McLean.
Hi. How are you?
Wonderful.
What can we do for you?
Actually, I have a question. I have inherited the remaining funds in an annuity and also will receive half of the sale of the house of my mother, who is deceased, just passed away. There's just my brother and I. And we were wondering, my husband and I were wondering what type of tax we might have to pay on this, and if there's a way we can reinvest it to where we wouldn't have to have the taxes, or, you know, I don't know if you can help us or not.
Yeah. We can certainly give you some direction on this. Let's start with the annuity.
Okay.
In the annuity, what is the value of the annuity today?
The annuity was $110,000.
And do you know if that annuity was inside or outside of an IRA?
It was outside of an IRA. She took a yearly payout on that. It was just a straight annuity. I don't believe she paid any taxes on it.
Do you know how much she contributed to that annuity?
Actually, I believe she started at $30,000, and then it grew from there.
And are you the sole beneficiary on the annuity? You mentioned
50%.
A brother. No, you're 50%.
Yeah, my older brother, which is actually the executor of the will.
So,
and he would probably know more about it than I do, because they have access to everything, which I do not have a whole lot of access.
Do you have good communication with your brother?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's good.
So most of that annuity is going to be taxable.
So annuities, they're pitched that they're great because they're tax deferred. What people don't talk about is they're horrible assets to leave when you pass away. because all that gain that's built up, which would have been forgiven in a lot of other type of investments, is not forgiven. And it's that even though it's a capital gain, it's the capital's gain over time, it's taxed as ordinary income. So if you
But she put in 30, but your mother had already started taking income from that.
But it doesn't matter because the way it's designed, it's last in, first out, accounting on it. So,
no, she annuitized it. It sounds like
The value is $110,000.
Well, we did cash it. My brother-in-law received a check. We received the paperwork from them, but we've not done anything with it.
So,
yet.
Based upon the information you're sharing with us, you'll receive $55,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
And of that, $40,000 will be taxable.
It will be.
Okay. Yes. So.
And that's not an inheritance tax either. Right?
No, that is correct.
Income tax. There won't
ordinary.
And there won't be an estate tax. On
what
this.
You can do on this, Debbie, is you can choose to have it paid out to you over a couple year period.
Okay.
It should be an option there, maybe a 3 year period or a 5 year period. And it would really depend upon your other income, whether it makes sense or not.
Okay.
I would strongly suggest that you talk with a tax preparer on this before you do anything. Or if you're savvy with that, you can do some what if scenarios on TurboTax.
What's your income, your family income now, that both you and your spouse?
Our family income right now, my husband is actually 65. I am 64. And it was about $160,000 last year.
Okay. You're going to need, to do a little bit.
You'd want to plan on this.
You want to do a little planning around
now,
this.
Now, the home,
you might want to take it out over a 3 or 5 year period.
Yeah. Just reduce the taxes on it. Because you add this on top.
No, the annuity.
You add this on top, and you can start losing your personal exemptions because of the income rate you're at. You might even have it over a 5 year period.
Yeah. You could take it over a 3 or 5 or 10 year period, but you most certainly want to spend the time and the energy looking at it.
I think 5 is as long as you can do in a non spousal annuity.
You might be right.
And then as far as the house, there should be no income taxes on this. The only tax there could be is the date from the change in value from the date your mother passed away to what it was sold for.
And normally there's nothing.
Negligible.
Oh, okay. So no matter, even though it's free and clear.
It doesn't make any difference.
Be split between my brother and myself.
Yep.
Unless it was set up in some irrevocable trust years ago, which would be highly unlikely.
No, there wasn't. I need it.
Tax-free. Full step up in basis comes to you completely tax-free.
For tax purposes, when you inherit it, the value for tax purposes, your cost basis is equal to the fair market value on the day your mother passed away.
All right, now say that in English.
I was trying to. It's just like whatever was worth the day your mom passed away. It's just like that's what you paid for.
That's what you paid for it, and there's no gain that needs to be paid.
Okay.
All right. The next step is, what do you do with the proceeds from that? We would encourage you to look at any of your own debts. If you owe any money on any cars, credit cards, or houses, do you owe anything on those?
Well, we do. We both plan on retiring within the next year or two, but we plan on having everything paid off. We do owe a little bit on our house, about $60,000 on the house.
I'd use this to pay that off.
I would as well.
Yes. Yeah. We plan on having that paid off. There's no credit card debt. There is a truck debt, but we plan on having all of that paid when we do retire.
Yeah. So one of the things I would look at is to see if you should maximize, put any more money into your company savings plans, and then use the proceeds
for
this year and next, and then use the proceeds from this inheritance to pay down that debt. Remember this, that what you inherited is separate property, which means it's you and yours alone. It's not commingled. So if you and your husband ever separated, that would be considered your property as long as you keep it separate. Once you commingle it, it changes the equation a little bit. So remember that he didn't inherit the money, you did.
Okay.
All right. So, but I'm not going to jump into the middle of that because I have seen couples fight over that.
I plan to split. So,
you plan to put it in with him, to toss it in with
Actually, what we plan to do is try to reinvest it and maybe leave our children something.
I would look at paying down debt and then seeing if I had any room in my company savings plans to actually increase that
for tax purposes.
You're
in high tax bracket right now.
All righty.
Okay. Yeah, we're in a high tax bracket now. So, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Debbie. Sorry about your mother too.
Bye.
All right. Thanks so much. Let's continue on with calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN. We're speaking with Victoria. Victoria, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. My husband and I were kind of contemplating this question. We have an age difference. He's 15 years older than I am. We both work for the government. He's retiring law enforcement in March, so he will get a pension. He has a 457 and will get Social Security. And I
how old will he be in March?
He's 54.
Okay.
I'm 39. I work for the state, so I'll be working till I'm 55, and I will get a pension and then his Social Security, and his 60% of his retirement when he passes away. So I guess my question is, do I save for my retirement, like through a 457? Should we put more money into that? We also have, I would say, a good amount of money in the bank that we're really not doing anything with. So I think that kind of adds to our retirement. We don't have any consumer debt. We do have a home that we own and we pay on. So
you have kids in the house?
Not that, no.
Okay.
Not
and that we support. What do you owe on the house?
We owe $300,000.
And what do you have in the bank?
$340,000.
Okay. So here's the answer.
How did you end up with $340,000 in the bank?
Before we got married, I owned a home and I sold the home. So that came about $140,000. And then, he just saved the rest of it.
Okay.
So have you talked about paying off the house?
No, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have. I guess we thought that would be better for a write-off.
Okay.
Taxes.
So Victoria,
that's our only write-off.
Yep. Understand. So here's what I would, not sitting down and looking at your overall financial situation, if I gave you the 3-minute financial plan, this is what I would do. Yeah. I'll give you the 3-minute financial plan.
Which is basically what you get when you call a radio program.
Yeah, that's all you get. 3 minutes. Actually, I got 3 minutes and 1 second. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get either of you have children from a previous marriage?
Yes. Okay. I have a 20-year-old, but he is not,
So I want you to get a living trust. I want you to go to a well-qualified attorney and get a living trust, number one. And to take into account that you have a child from a previous marriage. Second thing I want you to do is pay off this mortgage completely using that $340,000 in the bank. Take $300,000 and pay it off.
And another way to look at it, let's assume your house was paid off. Would you say, let's go get a $300,000 loan so we can throw it in the bank and earn 0.5% interest rate?
And you wouldn't. Then I want you to do is put to the maximum your 457 first, and then after that, I want you to make contributions to your 401k.
Take whatever that mortgage payment, if you just took whatever that mortgage payment was and applied that to your savings and did nothing else, you're going to be...
Actually, they'd have more net spendable income that way. I'd say actually take a little bit more than you were making on your mortgage payment and put it in there.
Is your husband planning on doing some other work after he retires?
He might not, but I'm pretty sure that Victoria wants him to.
Yeah,
you're coming home every day. He's there laying on the couch watching TV. He's like, hey, honey, what's for dinner? You're like, you've been laying on the couch all day. Imagine that.
He does plan on getting, nothing substantial, something like, working at the hardware store or something. Like, he likes cycling, something with bikes or something.
Will his pension be approximately what his pay is now? Does he have 30 years?
Yeah. More. Yeah, he'll be bringing home more because of the deduction.
There you go. So there's 3 minutes. I'm going to finish the 3-minute financial plan. Pay off the mortgage and make the maximum contribution to your 457 plan. And then I'd try to bring it to the maximum on your 401k. Because you work for the state of California, you have both a 457 and a 401k that allows you to put in approximately
$48,000
a year towards that. That's your 3-minute financial plan.
And you want to talk about a tax savings.
That's much better than your mortgage. Yeah. I'd pay that mortgage off tomorrow. They've got pictures of you and your husband down at the bank where they actually all walk by and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's because of you we have incredible profit.
Because you put the deposit in the bank
and then you
borrow back and pay us the spread.
At much higher interest. You're a perfect client. You're perfect.
Well, what if we just invested that money in something else?
No, because you're going to invest it in something else. You're going to do it in the 457 and 401k plan, which is actually much more tax efficient. That's why you're going to do it there.
You would also benefit from sitting down with a good certified financial planner.
You would most certainly benefit.
No question. You got a lot of moving parts.
You got a three-minute financial plan, no charge.
Well, let's transition now in our program. We do this periodically. I think we've had such good ones the last couple weeks. We're doing one again this week. Yeah. Our real advice segment. And real advice is when we talk to a real life advisor at Hanson McLean and hear about a situation that they encountered with a client of Hanson McLean and see how what the kind of advice they did. And the part of the reason we do this, we've been doing this program for 20 some years. And a lot of our listeners say that what they enjoy about the program is the callers, because the callers have some sort of problem and we help them or an issue, and we help the callers kind of figure out some solutions to that. What we find that this real advice segment does, it enables one of our financial advisors sometimes to go a little deeper on a situation and explain all the things that they've dealt with. And part of it is to give you an idea of what a good financial advisor should look like.
It's the nuance in the financial planning that matters.
Yeah. So, and obviously we love our advisors at Hanson McLean. We've got a team of great advisors. Other firms have some good advisors, but there's some things to look for. A fiduciary, one who's got a legal obligation to put your interests ahead, one that doesn't sell you financial products generated by commissions, et cetera, a long list of things, and credentials like certified financial planner and those sort of things. So our real advice segment, we talked to an advisor. Keep in mind that the experience that this particular client had with an advisor is unique to them. You may have a different experience entirely than what this particular person had. So this week, we've got Barbara Healy joining us, and Barbara is one of our great financial advisors. She's a certified financial planner, a chartered retirement planning counselor. She's got about a quarter century of industry experience and has been with Hanson McLean for years. And Barbara, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yes. Thanks for being back with us. So tell us about
this. Quarter of a century?
Well, I've just read here. It said 24 years. I thought quarter. It does kind of put things.
I love that.
Do you?
Well.
Yeah, well,
it cuts both ways.
It cuts both ways. I get it.
It cuts both ways.
I know. I was thinking, I started in this industry in July of 1990. And the Dow was either around 2,000 or 3,000. I forget what it was. It was at either 2,000 or 3,000. And look where it's at today. So over long, if you give yourself a long period of time,
you'll do okay.
You can just own the total market and not worry about things. But most people don't have a 25-plus year time horizon. Anyway, so tell us about the situation you encountered.
Some retired clients in their late 60s, they're very financially comfortable, and like a lot of clients, their life started out much different. While they were raising a family and going to school, he told me recently that he drove a truck in South Central LA. So certainly didn't come from money. And we're talking about a year ago, and he said he started
the
conversation.
Barbara, isn't that interesting? Most people that end up at retirement stage with Rockefeller assets, but significant assets, they're hard workers and they're diligent savers.
Good savers.
Right?
Good savers.
Yes.
Right.
From the start, when he was driving truck in South Central, he was probably saving.
Exactly. And they just, I think they have a different view of money when you don't start with money.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the conversation talking about his financial comfort. He said, Barbara, as you know, I have a pension, I have Social Security, I have $1 million in CDs and $2 million in investments. He said, I have no debt, and I have very nice cars in my garage. Like, okay. So you'd think, all right, what are you worried about? Well, here was his question. He sent me an email, and he said, Barbara, my wife wants to take a European vacation for $20,000. I want to do it for $10,000. It kind of sounded like a Dear Abby letter.
Both pretty decent trips. Not like a European vacation for $1,000, staying in hostels. Right? So it's...
Right.
Yeah, it's, like one, it's degrees one of staying, nice.
One is at luxury hotels, my guess, and one is at middle-of-the-road hotels.
Exactly. You fly first class or your kids do, right? And logically, here's the thing. He knew all this, and he knows it logically. But we did start the conversation by talking about when you don't start with money, spending it because you're wired to save takes away a bit of your security. And it can eat away your peace of mind, because your peace of mind, your whole life, has been saving. So reversing that, you know, can eat your peace of mind. So I asked him, I said, what's the purpose for these assets, your life's work? And he said, we started talking, and he said, you get to a point in your life where you need to feel your assets provide some value. And his value was in security.
Okay.
And you guys have talked about this on the air a lot. Pat, you said, you know, you haven't come from money, and you said, I feel better. It gives me security. It's not for the things it can buy you. So here's what we did. He's a logical guy, and you could tell he was trying to give himself permission to spend, but he just couldn't find a way. So we talked about doing a thorough review of all the pieces of his financial life. So we started with the umbrella policy and said, all right, what assets are at risk?
So, Barbara,
in a car accident, you're sued.
You've done this with him in the past, I assume, because this is part of our 7 personal decision points, right? But this was a refresher course. Is that how you would describe this?
She's helping lead him down the path so he feels comfortable that if he has $20,000 poor, it's not going to make any difference.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We had to do a deeper dive and just, as you said, a refresher, just revisit it and make sure that all these other pieces, I call them sort of like the fringe stuff. It had nothing to do with investments, nothing. But it was everything to do with giving him that peace of mind. So we again reviewed that umbrella policy. We talked about a life insurance policy that we've discussed in the past, and he said, I really don't need it now. Made sure his cash was titled correctly, you know, in the name of the trust, because he had set up some new accounts and just reviewed all that, and powers of attorney, all that. So after...
So you let him down the path so he got to the point, so he could convince himself that he's totally fine financially.
Yes.
Yes.
And after he felt all the financial details were in check and buttoned up, he was more comfortable spending the money. And there's so much investor psychology to this business, as you know, and money means different things to different people. And for him, it's got to be security. And he knows logically he could spend that money in Europe, but he just couldn't find a way to convince himself to do it.
Did they go on the trip?
They're going in September.
Okay, good.
And,
all right.
And are they spending, do you think they'll spend the 20 grand?
He promises me he will, but we'll see.
Now, Barbara, do you think that knowing he's going to spend the $20,000 is going to detract from part of that vacation?
Not
from a cycle, you don't think so?
What do you mean?
Well,
not a bit.
That he's become peaceful the fact that it's 20 grand.
Very much so, because now if it was, here's why, Pat, and that's a great question. If he said, I'll do it, okay, and didn't go through this exercise, but he had to go through that exercise of digging deep into those different areas of his life, then he said, all right, now I can.
Got it.
Yeah, because otherwise he could have went, spent the money, and been resentful at his spouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if he didn't.
I mean, do you think how much of our time as financial advisors is really with, as a couple?
A husband and wife.
Helping them get to a point where they're both comfortable with the decision they're making?
Yes.
They both have to get to a point where they're comfortable. Otherwise, one might.
Yeah. You know. Well, that was good counseling. That's good counseling.
Well,
thank you. It's just, when we can kind of take a step back and figure out what the purpose is. And we know clients, you take calls on this, where they have very difficult time spending money, right? They just can't pull the trigger, and they can't.
Oftentimes,
other people,
those that have the most assets at retirement, got that way because of, right? This need for feeling secure and nervous about the future and saving. And the future's now that they save for this moment.
Yeah, and then changing their behavior is difficult.
Very difficult.
I understand.
Very difficult. Right.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
Pat,
we get it.
You mentioned that on the radio before, Pat. You've said, listen, I need that security.
I need it. I'm this guy.
You don't buy toys. Yeah.
I know. I've started. But anyway, appreciate the call, Barbara. Thank you for being part of Hanson McLean, as always. Yeah. And thank you for serving
the client.
And, you know, as I'm sitting there listening to this, I'm thinking, this is the reason I love Barbara and why you're such a great advisor at Hans McLean, because this sort of care and understanding, you know, and so glad. Thanks, Barbara, for taking the time here. You know, what's interesting, Pat, is as we all have, we all make choices that aren't necessarily in our best interest, whether it's our diet, our exercise, who we spend time with, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, and, well, yes.
Right? And, I mean, people go to these diet centers, they don't learn anything new.
No, they just get the, they get the discipline.
Yeah, and get some help with someone along the way. And I think sometimes it's really interesting as financial advisors, I mean, we manage money, we manage a lot of money for our clients, helping them make sure that they've, you know, structured an appointment, a place to give them the highest degree of probability for success in the future. But a lot of our conversations are really around some of these other issues and helping people figuring out, number one, is what do they want out of life? Not me.
Yeah. You're not making the decisions for them.
No.
You're helping them make the decision.
Of what they actually want. This guy wanted this. That's what his wife wanted. He wanted to get to the point where he was comfortable with it to please his wife.
And there had to be a process that Barbara brought them.
Yeah, which is really kind of interesting. So that's part of the reason I love this. I love doing what I'm doing. It's just a fascinating. I find the financial markets fascinating. I find human behavior tied with that, frankly, even more fascinating. That's why I plan on continuing doing this for another quarter century, Lord willing. Anyway, we are out of time. We're here every weekend at this same program. If you'd like to be part of Hans McLean, again, 1-888-2-HANSEN is our number. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This is Hans McLean.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.
What matters most to you? Probably family and friends, but what else? When you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Your 30s and 40s, another. When your 50s creep in, you're older and wiser, but the sand in the hourglass of your asset accumulation stage has shifted. Right now, you're listening to Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Sure, they've been hosting Money Matters for 20 years, but they've been CEOs of Hanson McLean Advisors for longer than that. If you're over 50 and you've been saving for retirement, you're probably wondering how your preparation stacks up. Here's what you should do. Go to HansonMcLean.com and either schedule a free consultation with one of our credentialed advisors, or if you're not quite ready for that, maybe take a look at some of the helpful materials in our learning library. You'll see tutorials, podcasts, and articles on things like Social Security, retirement planning, investments, and a whole slew of other things that can help you retire well. Over 50 and starting to see retirement up ahead? Make sure you do it right. We can help. Go to HansonMcLean.com today.